I want to say that you are, everybody is so welcome this morning. You are so welcome, and it's such a privilege to have you, and God loves it when his people worship. And that's what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be different people from different places, all worshipping together our Most High God of the universe. And there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Just worship. Just worship. And that's when Jesus is going to come back. And we, just to state where we are as a church, we really believe the Bible, what it says. We believe everything that happened in the New Testament happened then and can happen now. And Jesus didn't just leave us here on our own. He sent us his Holy Spirit to help us live the lives. And we believe that people can be healed. We believe people can be changed. We believe God can do anything. Anything. So God is good?
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Yes. So we're going to have a recap again. Sorry to bore anybody who's done this. But the last few weeks, go back. Michelle. Whoa. There we go, we're back. So, the last few weeks we've been looking at what is the church? What is it? And we looked at the Bible. The Bible tells us that the church is a family. We are the children of the Most High God of the universe. Yeah, with all the privilege and authority that gives us. We are family and we are a body. It's not just me stood up here. It's we are all different shapes, sizes, gifts, all the things. And we bring it together as a body. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are toes. But we need each other. We're one body and we are a bride. God looks at us. Jesus has changed whatever dirty clothes of sin that we've got into a bridal gown that is beautiful and white and perfect. And there is going to be a wedding ceremony at the end of the world where Jesus marries his bride, the church. And then we are the temple of the Most High God. There is no temple in Jerusalem. There is no temple. We don't have to go to a specific place. Jesus' spirit resides in us. We have his presence in us, and all the power and authority and presence and peace and joy in us. And finally, we are the lampstand. Jesus is the light of the world, but we need to lift him up, and by our good deeds, people will see us and they will praise our Lord in heaven. That's the church. That's what we are. And then we looked very quickly at the purpose of the church. So if we don't fulfill our purpose, we're pointless, completely pointless. And we looked at up, in, or down, out, and loving God, loving people, building God's kingdom. So up, we're here to worship God, to give him glory through being a gracious and a merciful people. Yeah, in song and grace and mercy. We're here to glorify God. We're here, the church is to build up the saints. Down, so build people. Yeah, the edification, build our walk with Jesus, building in our relationship with Jesus, in knowledge of his word, in his spirit, in service, in all these things. The church is there to do that. And then out, the church is to preach the gospel. And the church is to show mercy and kindness, not just in this building, but out in the world. Yeah, so up, down, out. And if we don't fulfill that purpose, we are pointless. We are pointless. So anyway, we looked as well last week really briefly at gifts. And God doesn't just leave us on our own to do these things. He has given us gifts. And one of the gifts we looked at last week was the gift of leadership. Yeah, and we'll look at it again. But God gives us all different gifts, whether it's the gifts of pictures, whether it's the gift of faith, the gift of music, the gift of all the different things that Jesus gives us. God gives us all these things. But what am I going to talk about tonight, today? Oh dear, hold on. I've had iPad problems today. So I'm going to look at up. Yeah, so we know why and we love God. Because God, what has God done for us? God has cleaned us. God has died for us. Jesus died for us. Yeah, on the cross, he's dealt with our sins. He's given them his spirit. He's done everything that you have is provided for you by God. There's nothing that you own that has not been given to you by God. Yeah? God has done amazing things because he is a good, good God. If I didn't have God, God didn't do good things to me, I'd be dead on a street. My life would be so messed up. Yeah? But God has come and pulled me from the pit. And all these wonderful things. So I don't love God because I have to. I love God because why wouldn't I? Because all the wonderful things that God has given me. So we love God up loving God. But it got me thinking a few weeks ago. Lisa is far brighter and more perceptive than me. And do you remember we sang a song called Simplicity? Yeah, it goes, "You're the reason I sing." And do you remember that song, "The Reason I Sing"? Yeah. And the last bit is "How I Love You". Yeah. "How I Love You". Do you remember that bit? It's a bit high. But Lisa started thinking, how do we love God? We know why we love God and love Jesus, but how? How do we love God? What is it we do? Yeah? So she asked me, how do we love God? Being theoretically a church pastor now, I should have known the answer, actually. But I thought about it and I thought, actually, I really don't know the answer to that. How do we love God? It got me really, really thinking, apart from singing, how do we love God? Does anybody have any ideas how we love God? Pardon? Yeah, absolutely, our breath, definitely. Yeah, but there's lots of things. And then I started thinking, I have a weird thing. We've dealt with why we love God and all these things, and God's given us grace. But then I started thinking, has anybody read a book? How do we love God? Have you ever read The Five Love Languages? Has anybody read this book? Yeah? Oh, Gina, it's a good book, isn't it? Angela, but she's not here. If you haven't read this book, it is brilliant, and it's called The Five Love Languages. Okay, and it's a book that I was really blessed to read really early on in my married life, and when I had children, and there's different versions of it, but it's called The Five Love Languages. And if you bring up the next slide, and the next slide, the whole premise of the book is that there are five love languages, and we all give and receive love in different ways. And that's why sometimes husbands and wife and children and parents don't understand each other. And the five love languages are words of affirmation. Some people love to say nice things to other people, and some people love to receive nice words about each other. So do you like telling, so Mr. B, I thoroughly enjoyed your worship this morning, it was wonderful. Yeah? Some people communicate love by words, and words of encouragement and building up. Some people demonstrate, give and receive love by service. So some people, I love, my mum used to serve, she used to make tea and do all sorts, but she demonstrated her love by service and serving. And some people receive love by being served sometimes, and that's their primary love language. And some people, this is Lisa, she's not here, so I can say what I want. So Lisa loves receiving gifts. Some people communicate love by giving and receiving gifts. Who likes receiving gifts? Yes, look, there's all you ladies out there, definitely. Yeah, the primary lady one. But some people love giving gifts, and some people love receiving gifts, and that's how they demonstrate love. And some people, this is another Lisa one, some people love quality time. Yeah, so Lisa, some people will just nothing more of loving it by spending time within each other's presence. Do you know people like that? Guys, we're rubbish at that generally, aren't we? But the ladies, you like quality time very often, yeah? So spending, just reading, talking, reading a book. And finally, some people, have you ever met really huggy people? Some people's love language is physical touch. Yeah, some people receive, some people have hugging, shaking. You know the kind of people I mean, don't you? You've met the kind of people. But there's five love languages. Okay, if you go back, Michelle. Five love languages. Now, what it got me thinking about was, does God have a primary love language, because you will all have a primary love language. That's why I love people saying nice things to me, and I love serving. That's what I like doing. That's my primary. I'm not too bothered about quality time because I'm too impatient, and I'm not too bothered about receiving gifts because as long as I've got a nice phone, I'm all right, and various things. But I started thinking, does God have a primary love language that he wants to us to love him by? Yeah, which is a weird, weird thought. Give me 2 seconds. And I started thinking about it, and actually, God does have a primary love language. Yeah, he has two. And if you read scripture, these are the ways that we love God. And he loves it. He absolutely loves it. And if you go through scripture, God's primary love language is, move it now, Michelle, faith and obedience. God loves faith and God loves obedience, and they're actually two sides of the same coin. And if you read through scripture, you will see what really drives God mad, and he loves it when people do this, is when they have faith and when they are obedient. Yeah, and it's really, really interesting. I started thinking about it, so don't take my word for it, yeah. Go read it in the Bible, but I will give you some examples of where God really loves faith. So, go back to the early parts of Scripture. Faith. God wanted Adam and Eve to trust him about not eating the apple. Yeah? He wanted them to trust him, saying, you can eat anything, but just trust me. And what did Adam and Eve do? Yeah, they didn't trust him. That's all God wanted to do, to trust him and have a relationship. And they didn't, and they went their own way. And Abraham. Abraham was a bad lad. Yeah, there's a lot of bad people in the Bible. He did some bad things. Some really, he pimped his wife. He did all sorts of horrendous things. Yeah, but why did God love him, and why did God give him righteousness? Because of his faith. When God told him to do something, he trusted God enough to do it. Yeah? And he left his home, and God said, oh, go to this place, this land that I will show you, take all you, and he did. And then when God said, go, give your one and only son, and sacrifice him, he did it. So he trusted that the story ends okay. It's okay, don't worry. God sorts it out and provides. But what made God's heart love Abraham was his faith. And then if you go further in the Bible, so Joseph, or Noah, go on. Right, what I want you to do, Noah, is I want you to build this massive ark, this big boat in the middle of nowhere. It's never rained before, and it's the middle of the desert, but off you go, lad. What did he do? He trusted God to do it. And Joseph gets thrown down a well, yeah, gets tempted by this gorgeous Egyptian wife. What does he do? Does he go, oh, blow it, God's ended, you know, I've ended up in terrible, I'll just do whatever I'm going to do? No, God trusted him. And when he's in jail, Joseph trusted God. And that blessed God's heart. And as we go through scripture, we go through Gideon. Right, lads, what we're going to do is we're going to smash these pots and bang these things, and all the enemies are going to run away. But God told him to do it, and he trusted God. Yeah. And Joshua, right, lads, what we're going to do, we're going to build, beat this wall of Jericho and knock it down. But what we need to do first is wander around it 7 times and it'll just fall down, lads. That must have been a great management meeting, yeah? It's like, what did he do? Why did he bless God's heart? Because he trusted God. And Rahab trusted God. And Samuel trusted God. Yeah, when God told him to go do something and he talked to him, God trusted him, even though it was difficult. Samuel trusted him. And Saul, what was the problem with Saul? Because on paper, if you read the Bible, Saul was probably did less bad things than David. But what was the difference? When push came to shove, Saul didn't trust God. He was half-hearted. Yeah? He wouldn't wait for God to act. But David trusted God implicitly with everything. Yeah? And it goes on. So until you get to fishermen who are told, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And what did they do? They trusted God. Yeah, they trusted God. Yeah? And God loves faith. He loves it. Silvana, say it for us. God
loves it.
He loves it. It blesses his heart. So if you want to know how to love God, God loves faith. Yeah? Whatever is going on in your life, trust God with it. Whether it's a situation about money, about your life, living, you've got a problem, housing, all the problems of life, God has got it. I have no idea what I'm doing up here. I'm very, very scared, generally. But God has it. If we just trust him. If we just trust him. But what's the other side? What's the other thing that blesses God? Yeah, this is the flip side of the coin. Obedience. And the two work hand in hand, because if you trust God, you'll obey God. Yeah, you'll obey him. And you know, there's trust and obey, for there's no other way. What does God say? What does Jesus say? So in John chapter 14, he says, if you really love me, if you really love me, this is how we love God, you will obey my commandments. If you really. And notice Jesus didn't say, if you keep my commandments, I will love you more. Because he already loves you perfectly. And he can never love you any more or any less at this moment. But he's saying, through obedience, we can enter into more of God's love. We can love God through obedience. I obey God, still not properly all the time, yeah, but I obey God far more than I did 20 years ago when I became a Christian. And you learn and you walk in obedience in different things. But the more I obey God, the more I love him, because I see what he does in faith. And he's amazing. And you know, everything in this life will let you down. Your family, not on purpose, will let you down. Your job, your anything can let you down. But Jesus will not let you down if you trust him and obey him. I have put it to the test. Jesus has never let me down. Ever let me down. And I put my faith in a lot of other things. Yeah? Jesus will never let you down. So living in obedience. But it's pointless me talking about obedience. What is it? How do we do it? How do we live in obedience? Is there any area in your life where you are being disobedient? I don't want you to tell me. It's okay. But is there any area in your life where you are being disobedient? And I want to encourage you, just like a parent to a child, God is saying to each of us, why don't you just do what I tell you to do? And see what happens. And God is telling you that for your own good. The truth is, whatever God asks us to do, it is for our benefit. Yeah? So we need to take it seriously and submit to God's direction, because he is a good, good God. And do you trust him? Do you have faith to obey him? He's not going to take things away from you, or to be mean. He's not giving you a long list of rules or impossible things that you've got to do. He's teaching us what is best for us, for our benefit, via obedience. God wants the best for your lives. He wants the best for them. He doesn't want you bitter and hurt and resentful and lost. And that's often where disobedience, damage it does. He wants us to have righteousness, peace, love, joy. Is there an area of your life that you are living in disobedience? God wants you to fix it because he loves you. So how do you know how to live in obedience? Well, start with the Bible. Yeah? And the Bible is a weird book. There's some weird things in the Bible. Okay, but start with the bits that you understand and follow them. For example, forgive your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. You all know that bit, don't you? Yeah? Do it. See what happens. Yeah? Start with the bits that you understand, and God will reveal more about the Bible. It's not easy to forgive people who have hurt you. It's not. But try, and God will give you the strength and the power to do it. Second, we don't only have the Bible, but God has given us the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. And God doesn't leave every person in exactly the same way. And the Bible applies to everybody, does it? But it doesn't give every detail for when we get up in the morning to going down, for everything. Yeah, and that's why we've got to follow the prompting of the Spirit. And the Spirit will fall exactly what Scripture says. Yeah? No matter how many things you need to work on, give them to God one by one and see what he does with them. Yeah? And he will help you. And you will, I promise you, if you obey God, trust him, you will grow in love and peace and joy. So what is God's primary love language? It is faith and obedience. Yeah, put it to the test this week. If there's an area of disobedience in your life, correct it. And I promise you, God will honour it. I promise you. But does God have any other love languages? Well, he does. Bring up the next slide. You were right before, Michelle. Back. God loves it when we speak wonderful things about him. Michael loves singing and worshipping God. I can hear his voice. It's amazing, yeah? God loves it when we say wonderful things about him, because he's a wonderful God. So love God with words of affirmation, yeah? God loves it when you serve him. Yeah, acts of service. James says, say that we serve God by serving others, by helping orphans and widows. We can love God by acts of service. Yeah, we can love God by giving him a gift. What gift can we possibly give God? Because he's got everything and made everything. But do you know what God wants? This is... Silvanus read it already this morning. It's Romans 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Give God the gift of your life. He loves it. That's how you love him. Quality time. Give God your time. He loves spending time with you. He loves prayer. He loves private worship. He loves you studying his word, studying scripture. God loves it. Do you want to love God? You're looking really quiet. Yeah, God is good. God has done, who doesn't think the things that God has done for them is amazing and great? Silvanus, you don't think. No, but God has done amazing things. You know what? If I got what I deserved, I would get exploded into a million pieces. Yeah, God withheld, he's merciful and he's gracious. He gives me all the good things. Yeah, and I want to love God, and God loves it when you spend time with it. That's what he wanted with Adam and Eve in the garden. Yeah, God loves it when you spend quality time with him. And physical touch. How can you possibly physically touch God? Yeah? Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus loved touching the sinner, the outcast, the poor, with his hands. God loves it when you do that. And you know, different people will love God in different ways. We don't have to all do it in the same way. So Michael loves worshipping God. Andy loves worshipping God. That's how he loves and demonstrates God's love. Go back. Yeah? Acts of service. I was talking to Jean. She's not here this morning. But Jean served God through serving the church for so many years. And that is her love language. That's how she loves God. I'm receiving gifts. Yeah? Again, Mr. and Mrs. B, I've got some wonderful gifts from Mr. and Mrs. B, but their love demonstrate God's love through giving of gifts. And quality time, he's not here again. Mr. Parr, he spends a lot of time with God, does Mr. Parr. He loves spending quality time with God. And that's how God has made him. And physical touch. Yeah? People love touching and hugging and loving the outcast and the poor, and that's their gift of service. So go love God in whatever way your primary love language is, and God will love it. But God's primary love language is trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I'm going to pray. If you want prayer for anything, if you want prayer for more of God's Spirit, if you want prayer for healing, if you want prayer for anything, we believe Jesus is real now. We believe he acts now. And that he loves you so, so much. But go out, go trust God. He loves it. He loves it. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your scripture. I thank you that you are a good, good, good God, Lord. And fill us with more of your Holy Spirit, that we trust you and have faith in you more and more as individuals and as your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to just know that you have got all these things in our life, whether it's children, whether it's money, whether it's any area of our lives, Lord. We bring it to you. And we trust you with it, Lord. And Lord, help us to be hearers of your word, not and doers of your word, in faith, in trust. And Lord Jesus, we pray that we are an obedient people. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for scripture. And Lord, give us more of your spirit and give us the faith to obey your word. Because you want us to obey, because you are good. Not because you're mean. Lord, and we thank you that you are good. Lord, we thank you. Make us a people that love you more and more in all the different ways that we can. We give you all the honour and all the praise because you are good. Make us a loving people, a people that love God. Amen.